Our sermon text for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read from chapter 4. We're actually reading verses 21 through 33. And so it'll be 21 through 33. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. You can remain seated because it's hot, and I just feel like letting you relax. So the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, continuing in Jesus' name. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under the bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but should become abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear, and what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, for him shall be taken even which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed unto the ground, and it should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth of herself first the blade, then the ear, and after a full corn of ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth forth out branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask that by this power of the Holy Spirit that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask, Father, that you would be brought honor and glory in all we say and do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's hot. When you turn around and you start considering the kingdom of God, it's very interesting how we oftentimes can have a tendency to think about it as kind of this organism that's very small and tight. The way that we would look at it in our human nature, and I'm not saying it's correct, is that maybe it's just within a certain few. The reality of it is that the kingdom of God is broader than we could ever imagine. That it has an ability to reach out in certain areas that we could never understand even in our human nature, because we're conditioned. We're bound by limits of our flesh, we're bound by limits of our mind, and when you consider something that is beyond us, it's hard to bring in a comparison. Jesus turns around and he has just got done speaking to the crowds. The crowds were so great that in the beginning of this chapter, you find that Jesus actually got out into a boat and he made an amphitheater where he preached to those on the shore, because the crowds were just huge. It's kind of interesting how even now the acoustics of this works really well. Because when you turn around and you listen to it, I deal with Camp Lefty all the time, you can actually hear kayakers out in the water talk very clearly. And I kind of chuckle because from the shore you almost have to yell louder to get them to hear you. I remember one day I was sitting out at the office, and the office is past Jacob, and I call it the office because it's the only place you get cell service out there. And I was checking my emails and doing other things like that. And all of a sudden, these people were going by on a kayak. And I heard them, and they were almost like whispering to each other, Oh, there's a man up there. And I said very loudly, Yes, there is. Be careful. And they were like, He heard us. We kind of forget, but Jesus understood this, and he used this to his advantage. And to me, this is just a very powerful thing. It may seem quite simple to us. But he wanted the word to be heard. What he spoke, it was so important that he wanted it to be heard. And he wanted the masses to hear it. So therefore, he stepped out. And he spoke to them in parable. Disciples were kind of confused about this. And then they questioned him about it. And so then he continued to teach them in a parable style. See, parables are very interesting. They basically relate issues or relate understandings and teachings in a way that we could understand them. They relate to us. Now, parables don't mean exactly this is exactly how it happened. It's a descriptive way of describing something to us that we would have the ability to understand. It's more of a tool. It's a very powerful teaching tool. My wife will often make that statement, especially when she's dealing with a knucklehead like me, because, you know, sometimes I get to be stubborn. And she'll use word descriptions, as she says. And it's very, very advantageous to do that. Some of you women might understand this, dealing with your husbands. You know, I had this great idea one time that I was going to turn around and help my wife. And so I decided that everything in the kitchen was wrong, and I was going to rearrange it for her. And she'd be so thrilled with me. And she wasn't so thrilled. First and foremost, she's 3 feet shorter than I am. Second of all, she knows what she's doing. I don't. And I was very hurt because I spent hours doing this. And when she didn't receive it well, I thought she was just being mean. So then she turned around and tried to explain it to me, and I was just like, you don't get it. I'm trying to help you. But then finally, she used word pictures. And she asked me about my shop and why do I have my shop set up in a certain way. And she said, and how would you feel if I went into your shop and just started moving this, this, and this? And I'm like, it wouldn't make any sense. You can't move this, this, and this. You got my point. Jesus uses these parables to teach us a very powerful point. He turns around and he speaks to them in this fashion. He says, you know what? A lamp is brought, and it is not brought and put under a basket. You don't take a candle, like that candle right there, and we don't put a basket over it. First and foremost, it'd probably, you know, snuff it out. But second of all, what good would it be? What good would it be if we painted all of these lights in here black? They wouldn't have any purpose. They wouldn't shine the light that we desire to have. And so Jesus says, you know, if you bring this lamp out and you put it under a basket or under a bed, why? What good would it be? You would put this on a stand so that the light would go out into this room. Well, he's speaking very strongly to his apostles, and he's saying very straightforward, you are giving and given a message. You're given a powerful ministry. And your ministry is not to be contained just to a certain group. We've often forgotten that. As human beings, we've forgotten the aspect of the gospel being poured out for the world. That we would enter into this world as shining lights, that we would really bring forth a message that is so needed and so desired, even though some people may not know it. Because people are looking for peace. Peace! And then Jesus turns around and he says, everything will be exposed in its time. Don't do the opposite of what you should be doing, but rather, go out and publicize. Go out and preach. Go out and do the commission that you've been called to. And you know what? Some will mistreat you, no doubt about it. These are my words, but I can picture Jesus in reality bringing this out because he talks it in other areas. They say, well, they abused me. Do you think that you're not going to be abused? He says very plainly, all things will be exposed in their due time. They will be made revealed. They will be revealed. He says, nothing will be in secret. Everything will be brought to the light. Sometimes, even when we enter into this world bringing the ministry, we want people to understand what certain things we suffer, what consequences we go through, what we may endure just to do this. But actually, God knows. God knows, and He will reward, in reality, those that deserve a reward. And He also will pull back on those that do not follow through. See, this is kind of a cool thing to me. God's going to take care of it. We are just called to serve. And that really actually takes a lot of weight off of our shoulders. See, because sometimes we want to pick up the flag and, you know, of our understandings, the flag of our commitments or whatever it may be, and march through places and make sure people know that we're battling so strongly. But God knows what we're dealing with, and He tells us, just go out and do it. Go forth and proclaim, be this light. Some will receive, some won't. Some will take you with honor because of the message you bring, and some will chastise, some will persecute. Doesn't matter. Carry forth. Nothing will be hidden. All things will be exposed. Everything will be brought to light. And He says, I want you to listen to this. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Do we have ears? And that's the question. Do we have ears to hear? Not just plain old ears stuck on the side of our heads. How many times have we said, kids, I know you've got ears, but you don't listen to me. Do they work? What about some adults? Do they work? Do we hear in reality what the gospel speaks to us? Do we hear the hope of that gospel, the restoration work of Jesus Christ? Do we understand and know it? Not only for ourselves, but as a proclamation for the world. Sometimes Jesse has a tendency to want to go out and govern. Jesse has a tendency to want to decide who in reality can and who in reality cannot receive this. Actually, if you look at the previous part of this chapter in the beginning when he talks about the sower of the seed, what does that text say? It says that the sower went out and he was broadcasting it. He was sowing it wherever he would. He wasn't picking, oh, this looks like good ground, this looks like bad ground, this looks like good. He was broadcasting it. The word was going forth no matter where. And that is the proclamation that Jesus is trying to say to us. That all follows into that context. He says very plainly, the seed in reality is the word. And the garden in reality is the earth. We are to enter into all parts of this earth. Broadcasting. Planting that seed. He says very plainly, if anyone has an ear to hear this, let him hear. He said, and pay attention. Pay attention to what you're hearing. He says, when you turn around and you're gauging other people, whatever you may be doing in this life, he says, whatever measure you use, that will also be measured to you. Isn't that an amazing statement? Whatever righteousness you dispense, that righteousness will be used on you. Whatever grace you give, that grace will be given unto you. Whatever judgment you may use, that judgment will be used on you. See, because we're not God. Jesse forgets that. I don't know. You guys might have it all together, and praise God for that. But we're not God. We've been given a message. We've been given grace. We've been given imputed righteousness. And we are to enter into this world proclaiming it. Well, Pastor, you've got to turn around and straighten out people, because if you don't straighten out people, they're going to keep doing what they want. Really. Because human beings don't do what they want anyway. It's by the power of the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that one's life may be changed. And if we don't deliver that Word, if we're too busy governing people's lives and trying to straighten people out in our own facet, or our own thinking, our own system, how are they ever going to know the truth of the Gospel? See, it's not my job to straighten people out, even though Jesse is tempted so many times. It's my job to deliver the Word. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save it. That's a proclamation. We have different forms of it. In other words, the way we may label it in our words. But the reality of it is we are sent out into this world to proclaim a truth that is beyond our comprehension. Actually, beyond my comfort zone. He says very plainly, the individual that pays attention to this, however they dispense it, it will also be returned. Remember that statement we talk about only in monetary? We do. We're terrible about this as humans, and you know, blanket statements are bad, so maybe you don't. But we make this statement in reality, you can't outgive the giver. And we often only bring it out in a monetary value. See, that's my little way of telling you to put more in the collection plate, because you can't outgive the giver. What about time? We can't outgive the giver of time. He is the one that's allotted our days and our moments and our times. You know, for the amount of hours that I spend working out at Lefty, maybe some care, maybe some don't, it doesn't matter. That's not the point of the subject. I believe God in reality spared me from cancer so that I could serve. God allots time. You can't outgive the giver. What about grace? We have a message, we're a light in this world. What about grace? Can we outgive the giver of grace? You know, I would be really graceful to you, but God's kind of running out. So I have to do this. I have to bring you into chastisement. I have to straighten you out, because we sure don't want to waste God's grace, because He's only got a little bit of it. See how ridiculous that is? He is the giver of grace. What about the giving of righteousness? The righteousness that we have is not of ourselves. It is imputed. It is foreign. It is outside of ourselves. It is given. Can we not act righteous in this world? And I'm not talking indignant righteousness. To be made right before God. That others could claim to that? He is the giver. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed. He goes referring back to where the disciples had questioned him. He says he scattered seed on the ground. Doesn't say scattered seed on the good ground. Just says he scattered it. He says that when he's sleeping, he rises day and night. He goes through the system here. He says the seed itself sprouts up. He said it sprouts up, but actually the man himself cannot say how. Well, we could try to break it down by science, but God is the one to give life. And in reality, a seed, even Jesus himself says this in the Gospel of John, that a seed in reality is not going to do a thing until what? It dies. Who can bring life out of death? It's God Himself. It's God Himself. And so He speaks to this aspect of, now, the man doesn't understand how it does because this is beyond his pay grade. God in reality is the one that calls forth life. God is the one that brings it up. How did He give us life? It says very plainly in the Scripture, whether we want to believe it or not, it doesn't matter. Because God's not dictating Himself according to what we think. He breathed life into us. He breathed. We can try to copy what God did, but we can't create it. You know, we talk about this even with cloning. Oh, human beings have gotten so smart and they've done all this, and I'm not a science major. I'm no major, trust me. But I see it very simply. It's like jump-starting a car with another car. You didn't create the electricity out of nothing. You took it from somewhere else. God created everything out of nothing. Oh, Pastor, you're crazy, because we know about the Big Bang Theory. Wow. You think it takes faith to believe in God? Two little particles in the middle of nowhere, and here we are. That's faith, too. Wow. He says very plainly, he says, now, he doesn't know how, but the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain of corn. It's the operation of God. It does what it does. We can't dictate what God can do. We can't dictate what God cannot do. In reality, if we were to be honest, we stand in awe of the majesty of God. And I stand in awe, to tell you the honest truth, that He saved me. He saved me. I don't need to look out in the audience. I don't need to look out in other congregations. I don't need to look out into the world. I'm not saying that we shouldn't also, that we could stand in awe of that. But one such as I. Apostle Paul said he was the greatest of sinners. And yet God spared him. If it's possible for Paul, if it's possible for a half Italian and half Finn guy from New Hampshire, and if it's possible for you, maybe a full-blooded Finn, I don't know, can it be possible for others? He says, you have a message. Don't hide the message under a bushel. Share the message. Don't do it with your prejudice. Don't do it with your governings. But rather proclaim it, broadcast it. This seed was poured out. And you know what? God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will allow, in reality, fruit to come forth. He will allow it. And then He brings us to this point. He says, but when the grain is ripe, in other words, when all in reality is brought forth, He says there will be a time of harvest. And that's what our goal is. That at this time of harvest, that all would be there. That at this time of harvest, there would be a bounty that is beyond measure. That maybe, just maybe, we could believe Revelation. For John beheld a crowd that was so large that no man could number, of every tongue, every kindred, every people. Can you imagine that? Wow. There might actually be a couple Finlanders in that crowd. Can you imagine that? Have we ever given thought to the vision as we deal with the divisions in our churches and in our groups or whatever it may be, when we stand around and we say, man, Revelation says that there will be a crowd standing before the throne of God that is beyond counting. By grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. He says there is a time of harvest. He says, how else can we compare the kingdom of God? He says, the kingdom of God, what other descriptive story, parable can we use? He says, this is how I want you to consider it. It starts out small. It's like a grain of mustard seed that's very, very tiny. He says, and actually, he says, when this grain of mustard seed is put in the ground, it's sown and put in the ground. In other words, now that even dies to self. To what? To give life to something else. Boy, this really sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Wow. He says, the smallest of seeds on the earth, yet when it's sown, it becomes larger. Larger than any other plant in the garden. Christianity. To me, this is beautiful. It gives a great descriptive understanding of the power of the kingdom of God. We have so many religions in this world. We have so many other things. There's no doubt about it. And it's confusing when human beings try to use their human minds and decipher it and not go by faith. But it says, actually, it started very small. But in the garden, if you want to use a description of earth, it becomes the largest of all plants. So large, in fact, it becomes basically like a tree, and it actually gives protection. It gives shadow for those birds. Just a beautiful description. Jesus spoke in parables so that we, or at least they, in their time, could understand things in terms that they knew. We can still speak in parables. We can speak to the aspect of about you know, many different ways, giving descriptive stories to bring us to a conclusion. We can use word pictures. We don't have to be seated deep in theology. I'm not saying it's not important. There's a place and a time and place for that. But if we could turn around and understand one thing, God loves us. God loves us so much He gave us His Son. And He wants us to share that message with everyone that we encounter. And we share it by the way we live, by the way we speak, and by, in reality, how we dedicate our lives. What is first and foremost? I think it's interesting. You turn around and you look at this aspect of all the floods that are going on. And if anyone does have a need, Blue, too, please. We can't read into everybody's lives. And I'm not being cynical. I'm just saying we just can't. It's amazing the amount of people that we deal with. If there's a need, try to let us know. Let the office know or something like that. But the fact of it is that we can look at this devastation of the flood. And we can see that so much good also has come out of it. People have strength they probably didn't realize they had. People have purpose that they didn't realize that they have. They have gifts and abilities. And even business-wise, companies could give more than they ever thought. Even I think in a day and age like this, I think we need to sober up a little bit when we all get so upset at corporate America. Because corporate America has been pouring in millions of dollars into this area. I'm not standing up for any company. I'm saying, doesn't it open our eyes to see that there are good people in this world? To see those individuals that their own houses are destroyed, but yet they're going to help a neighbor? Doesn't it bring out that heart of compassion? So in all of this, we have a message to share. We have a light to share. And the reality of it is that we can see the description that Jesus uses are still fitting for this day. Because the widow's mite is being poured out even in our community today. Those that don't have lots are giving all they can and more. We talk about you can't outgive the giver. A lot of these people are giving time. Time. Trust me, I'm a pastor, and I know how hard it is to get volunteers. I'm blown away at the amount of volunteers that they're getting. God is still on the throne. Love is still dominant on this earth. Politics are sick and disgusting, I don't care either way. But people are still good. May we rejoice, may we share this message with the world, and may we give the hope of the gospel to all that have ears to hear. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the outpouring of love that we're seeing in this community. We thank You, Father, for those that are willing to give even beyond what they have. There are those that are setting aside vacations. There are those that are laying aside different plans in their life to help a neighbor, to encourage others. There are those throughout this country, that are calling into the help center, Father, to say, we have means, what do you need? We ask that each and every one would be blessed for all that they give, whether it's time, financial, or prayer. Allow manifold blessings upon each and every one. Father, we thank You for this unique community that we live in. And we pray that we would still continue to be united and to be strengthened. And Father, as we head into September and we get back to busyness of school, and many people still will be hurting, we pray that our hearts would still be sensitive to this, that we'd find a way to help all of those to rebuild. Father, we thank You for all things, but most of all the gift of life that is found in Jesus Christ. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.